boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Wing.
I'm Beef.
And I am Johnno Lobster. When his wife is burned at the stake after being falsely accused of witchcraft, the vampire Count Vlad Dracula declares all the people of Wallachia will pay with their lives. His army of monsters and demons overruns the country, causing people to live lives of fear and distrust. To combat this, disgraced demon hunter Trevor Belmont takes up arms against Dracula's forces, aided by the magician Sifia Belnades and Dracula's son Alucard.
Spoiler alert, shit.
Was that written in the, like, little thingy before you push play?
Yeah, it's like the Wikipedia summary.
Okay, that's a Wikipedia, but not when you push play on Netflix, because I never read that stuff. But if they said everything, all of that, I was like, whoa.
Yeah that just gives it all much. Away. Yeah. We're breaking form on Legends and talking about a TV show, a whole season of a TV show. In fact, season one.
Hold on, yeah, that's kind of a stretch, whole season.
Castlevania. Well, it's...
Well, it is. When do we do Sherlock
Holmes season? I know, but
it's
still...
It's 4 23 to 25 minute episodes.
But why you us American wants to call that a season? It's a series. That's it. It's series one. Okay, let's move on.
It's technically a movie that they split up into episodes.
Yeah, it's what, yes, an hour and a half?
Even yeah, if so you... this... This is Castlevania Season 1, based on which video game in the Castlevania series? There's like 25 of them.
Yeah, but it's the third one, Dracula's Curse, which was fun because that's one of the last one they got like on the NES. Not the Super NES,
no way.
The one with the square thing. And that was the first one where you were getting characters here and there, and they all have something different. Alucard could turn into a bat and you could fly. You had a little the little magician girl that was doing magic depending on which book you were finding here and there, and you had a little thief that it's not in this show yet anyway. So that was one of the fun game
pirate, and his last name is Danasty.
Wow. Come on. Of course, in the NES, the story is kind of simple. So when I started to put names and character together, I was like, oh, that's what they adapted, which made it very interesting for me when he was referring to the past and his great-grandfather or his grandfather, which was probably Simon.
Probably from the earlier games.
Yeah, so a lot of the Castlevania games, which full confession, you guys, I have never played any of the Castlevania games, not a single one. And I really don't watch anime as a general thing. So this is breaking this is completely new territory for me because I didn't know anything about the stories. And the animation style is not something I watch a whole lot of.
Did you enjoy and could you get into the anime?
I friggin' loved this.
You should watch Attack on Titan.
Yeah, we should also make him rewatch Ninja Scroll and some of that shit. Because that's all pretty good, too.
This also written by one of my favorite writers. Warren Ellis wrote the script for this. Warren Ellis has done stuff like Transmetropolitan. Right now he's writing The Wildstorm for DC, which is very good. And he wrote the script for this. Originally, as I mentioned, it was a film script. And then he went back and kind of broke it up into episodes.
It's funny because I forgot it was written by
Warren Ellis.
Thank you. By Warren Ellis, after I saw the credit, kind of forgot for an episode, and then they started talking about goat fucking, and I was like, oh, right,
yeah. It's not my fault the goat fell in love with me.
That's that whole exchange about you're not my brother, you're my cousin. I love that. This is still at 91% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's the first anime they've ever said was fresh.
Wow, okay, that's tough. But let's talk about American anime, though.
let's do this episodically. Let's go episode by episode and talk about kind of what happens in each one and how it pays off later. The first episode is almost entirely not really dealing with our main characters. It's all about Vlad Dracula Tepish.
I love that they humanize him through her.
Yeah. And he meets a woman named Lisa who wants to learn about
the
knowledge that he's collected. Yeah, the science. And as things go in the Middle Ages, science is not well regarded.
I like that they don't pull punches on that. They go right into the constant judgment of science, and, you know, I've never seen glass that thin, and it's like, come on. So you're going to burn her?
Well, that's what they were doing, man.
I know, but it's
that's what happened. What I find impressive is that in like 5 minutes, they made me care for her. They made me care for the relationship with a monster.
Right, they humanize him.
And when they burn her in 5 minutes.
And then when he's
that's good writing.
When he's like, never again will I travel like a man. Slowly.
Yeah.
Just freaking teleports.
Right, you know? Turns into flames.
They do this thing, which is, obviously, this is Dracula's curse, right? This is Dracula wreaking his vengeance upon the land. But in that episode, at least, you're fully with Dracula in like, yeah, fuck these people.
Oh, when a year later and the blood rain starts to pour. You're like,
shit. Giving this speech. Oh, we have made it. 1 year, everything's gonna be fine.
Right. And he's all like quadruple chinned and, you know, priest, and just, you could tell he didn't do anything.
Yeah, well, they've made a really good job to demonize the clerics and the old church.
Warren Ellis, really?
Yep. He's very good at these things, I know, but damn.
Well, back then,
again, it's how efficient this thing is. In like one episode, the old setup is there, and now I'm remembering there's only three of these, Nicks?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it moves quick, for sure. And also, like, it takes its time with the scenes. We were talking a little bit before the show about the current season of Game of Thrones and how it's just moving from, like, it's not wasting time on setup and...
Because you've loved these characters for six years.
Yeah, right. The previous seasons, I think, were a little guilty of spending a lot of time in setup, and then you'd have maybe one or two episodes at the end that pay everything off.
Right.
The current season is, like, payoff after payoff after payoff. And I felt kind of that way about this series, that there's only four episodes, and really only... three that deal with the main characters.
It's really like two and a half, though, that actually have any action or anything. Other than that, they make you care.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
But even their setup there is made with action, with fun, with, you know, a little bit of carelessness. They're able to.
Goat fucking.
Goat fucking and all that.
As soon as the shit goes down and the demons come out, or Dracula's fiery face coming down from the sky, they take no time to show you how brutal it's going to be. You got intestines and like random shit, and you're like, oh.
I like just before that you have the year, you still have like that little scene with Alucard, so that you have an idea that this character is going to kind of come back at some point and justify
why he's
asleep.
Really see him in that scene.
Yeah, how do you know he's coming back? I don't think you hear his name.
Yes, you do.
Really?
Oh, no.
No,
you don't. I'm reading Gaius, the subtitles. Fuck.
You hear that it's Gaius Fracken Baltar.
Sorry, I'm reading the subtitles.
Yeah, no, it's...
Wait. Alucard is Gaius Baltar?
He's Gaius Fracken Baltar.
I
knew.
Yeah, I read that. That's so cool.
Oh, nice. Because I love the voice, and I could not place it whatsoever.
I like the voice, the preacher, the... one who becomes the bishop. Who is that?
Ah, that is Matt Frewer.
Yes. He's been in everything.
To Legends podcast from the Generation X TV movie.
Oh, my God.
He's been in so much shit.
That for a second.
Was he in Tremors? Was he in Tremors?
Probably. There's like six of these shit.
Yeah. He's awesome. I mentioned my love for him before.
Trevor Belmont's first drunken bar fight after the goat fucking talk.
Yeah.
Would you please leave my testicles alone?
And we are in 2, episode 2. because I think that's how it finished with the bar fight, or the setup to the bar fight.
Yeah. So Trevor Belmont, played by Richard Armitage, who's a British actor, probably best known to American audiences as Thorin the Dwarf in the Hobbit movies.
Oh, okay.
He's the main angry dwarf. Oh, you're an angry dwarf.
Aren't dwarfs all angry? I watched the first Hobbit and tend to forget about it, so I'm sorry. I'm too much a Lord of the Rings fan to remember the Hobbit.
First time you see Trevor Belmont bust out the whip on the random priest who's trying to take the speaker out, and he loses a finger. And then takes the other guy's eye out, and you're like, oh my god.
I was like, he's supposed to be very good. And he's like, I'm out of practice.
The violence wasn't necessary. Super bloody. But it was appreciated.
Now, this is super bloody. This is awesome. It's animated, so they can really get nasty with stuff.
Oh, like when he first comes upon Greshit, and the like, eight of those beasts are leaving in the morning, and one's got a baby in its mouth.
Mm.
It's just brutal.
Yeah, brutal.
Well, I like that they chose like Trevor Belmont, because contrary to his grandfather, he's not a saint. He's kind of someone that has to live his destiny and doesn't really want to. And the fact that they found a way to make him like find himself again with all these family
right, they ideas basically forced him out, though. He's not just he doesn't want to live his like, you know, fate or whatever, but why should he do it? The church forced him out. Now, you know, I get his, like, you know, apprehension.
Yeah. Well, he's been... Actually, his grandfather was excommunicated, so he's been, like, on the run all his life. Killing demons and never getting thanks for and never having money and all that. So he's, like, at the end of this rope, basically.
He's at the end of his whip.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you write those down?
I do. I just come up with them on the fly.
So, yeah, so I love that they chose that character instead of other characters that I could have been more, you know, basic Superman perfect.
Right,
people.
He's flawed.
Yeah.
When he goes to find the grandchild speaker, the fight with the, what you call it, Cyclops is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like a Cyclops fight.
Did you step on me? Why do they always dress the speakers like, or dress the girls like boys? So many good dumb one-off lines.
No, but actually, if you look in the book for the game, they say that it's a woman, but she dressed like man to fit into the order. So the fact that they put the line in there means that they know their shit.
It's good.
Yeah. And she has a right name to Sifa, something like that.
Yeah.
I double-checked that. They've been... Doro, it's fun to see that it's been made by fans. Yay.
The final stand against Dracula's army in Greshit. The demon beasts that come out, have you guys seen Attack the Block?
Yes. Yeah.
They look a lot like those.
Well, there was only that one that had the blue fangs, right? That confronted the priest.
The one that was talking.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah, that one, you're totally right. It looked just like that.
Because that priest is not a megalomaniac at all.
No. Matt Frewer rarely is when he's in stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't think he's going to be there anymore.
No, that's a bummer.
I like seeing the young speaker chick use magic, you know? He was, even Trevor Belmont was kind of like, okay, sweet.
Cool. You got tricks.
It's fun to see that he's not fazed by that. He has a past. He's not new. I have kind of enough of the heroes that are learning their path. So seeing someone that's more like it's like watching Logan. You know, I know he has all his background. Now show me a story instead of like showing me the story of how he got his background. I have enough of that crap.
Right. Same thing with like the Batman origin.
Or Spider-Man Homecoming. Just let him be Spider-Man. Don't give him the origin story.
You didn't see it? Can't say.
There's no origin story in it? Awesome.
What? No.
I'm just, come on, that's something you can spoil me with.
I think he gets bitten by a spider or something.
I thought it
was
like
a radioactive Sharpay.
Yeah. He's always humping Aunt May's leg.
No, he got bit by... Man.
The sleeping soldier beneath the city is Alucard?
Myths from the future? I don't know. Okay, yeah, whatever. I'll bite.
They have glimpse of the future in the moment, so they probably saw that moment.
I do like the idea of the speakers, though, that carry oral histories down through time. I think that's cool.
I think that's stupid. That's how you don't get your real history back.
I still think it's cool.
Okay.
Hey, man, they have magic.
I respect you, they have magic.
Come on, man.
I respect them, they have magic. They don't have a healing spell here and there? That would be great.
Maybe they do for other stuff. I don't know.
So, why do people have to fight just before they become friends?
It's a guy thing?
Okay, it's a dick thing? Okay.
Is this a greater life question? What? I'm confused.
Vampire/vampire hunter thing?
No, I think he wanted to test the, you know, if he was actually good at his craft, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think he wanted to see if Belmont believed enough to die for it.
That too. I mean, a sleeping soldier, a hunter, and a scholar. Come on.
That doesn't happen a lot. You should be just like, okay.
Shut your mouth. I'm just talking about Shaft.
But
Shaft.
But he still had to test him.
He did.
Okay.
I like the long sword versus the whip and the short sword.
Yes. The animation on that was awesome. The fighting animation in that thing were just amazing. Who drew that? I didn't check.
Well, it takes kind of, and I do know enough about anime to know that it takes a lot of its cues from the way that fighting happens in anime, but it's just Draculas instead of Super Saiyans.
Oh yeah, totally.
Did I get that right?
We watched the Animatrix recently, and yeah, that was...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
A lot of it's quick cuts and shit, but it still worked. It was just, I don't know. They made me care about these characters in 100 and whatever.
Or 90-some minutes.
Yeah, no, it's funny because this is a retread of the third game in the franchise, which, as we mentioned, is quite old. And how's the Castlevania franchise doing in games lately?
Okay, I'm a fan of the series up to like 2001, 2002 when they went into 3D.
Yeah, and that's where they switched to N64.
Yeah, and that's where they kind of lost me since then. So I've played only like the NL ones, which have no stories because I like the platforming of these games, which was the first thing that attracted me to these games in the days.
I think he went back in time.
I have no idea. I haven't played any of the recent
games, but
I did read an article in thegamer.com ranking every Castlevania game from worst to best, and I borrowed that for my rankings.
One has Symphony not of
the
come Night, out.
It's somewhere in there very high, because I think that's the best
97.
Made.
That was in 97. 2014 is the last time they came out with a game, so if Konami is not fucking on production with another one, they're missing out.
Yeah, I feel like this is very... It would be a very good basis if they would take the story that they're telling...
Even rehash it, yeah.
Yeah, in the TV show and let you play through it. I think that could work very well. Or even if they just did a fighting game or a platformer with no story and said, okay, well, this is the story. We're not going to have you play through it in the game because you already kind of know it. You're just going to get to do all action.
Yeah, the NLs basically do that. So you see, I'm looking at the list too, and I'm like, yep, play this, play that, 2008, or, 2005. But
let me blow your mind here. If you did an MMORPG, where you could either be a speaker, a Belmont, or you know one of their disciples, you could play as the church, or you could play as one of Dracula's horde.
You lost me at MMORPG.
Like Warcraft.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I...
Okay.
Not my style. I would love to play the Old Republic.
But what if it wasn't an MMORPG, like, but a larger platform, a game like that?
What if they did
Grand Theft Auto?
What if you did it Skyrim style, where you're a disgraced Belmont wandering around, taking odd jobs, killing demons?
Okay, you want to go?
Is your well cursed?
Goat fuckers.
Right. Is your well cursed? I'm a Belmont.
What was the name of the game a couple of years ago? Like the little girl and her dad running from zombies. Everybody
the Last
loved
of Us.
Do that.
Was that one of those? That's like a Telltale game, right?
No,
kind of like it. Yeah,
It's kind of in between.
It's one of the games where, like, if you die, you die, and that's it, right?
Yep.
You got to go all the way back.
What?
Yep.
Well, is it one of those?
No, not anymore. Nobody does that anymore.
That's some like FTL. Did you play FTL?
Yes, that's frustrating. Okay, but that's an indie game.
You fucking die, you die. Your ship blows up. You run out of air. That's it. Game over. Start at the beginning. No saves.
By the way, you can put a Mass Effect patch on this thing. It's amazing. Okay, that's turned into video game legends. All right, because
let's rate this bloodsucker.
All right, Wing, for Castlevania, the Netflix series, are you going legendary?
Super Castlevania 4.
Legend of its time.
Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Cult legend.
Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse.
Awesome.
Castlevania, Lords of Shadow.
Entertaining.
Castlevania, Portrait of Ruin.
Ew.
Mabel.
Castlevania, Harmony of Dissonance.
Ugh.
Forgettable.
Castlevania, Curse of Darkness.
Do we have to go that low? Seriously?
Abysmal.
Castlevania, Legacy of Darkness.
Spring Breakers Highlander.
Castlevania 64.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle barf tear.
With a side of anime, Buffy, / video game nostalgia.
God, this is very difficult. I'm going to go with awesome. I just don't remember which game was associated with it, though. I'm going to go with awesome. That was awesome. That was a good 2 hours. That was satisfying. There's more coming, thank God.
Lords of Shadow was the one that goes with that. I don't know any of these
games.
Yeah,
that was the PlayStation one. That was actually pretty good. That was on PS2. I think I owned that.
Yeah, I'm just going off what thegamer.com says. I've never read thegamer.com until I Googled rank every Castlevania game worst to best.
Oh, wow.
They came through, so.
But yeah, I was actually agreed with the top 4 or 5, and then
you cringed at the rest of them. Audibly.
Yeah, that worked. So yeah, I'm gonna go with Lord of Shadow. Awesome. It's if you don't like anime, I think the story is good enough for you to grip you to pass the animation. If you like anime, well, it's well animated. It's a little bit Americanized, but you know what? If more people watch it because of that, just go. So yeah.
On that topic, I think it's the first R-rated American produced anime.
That's wow.
Cool. That's okay. Cool.
About time.
That's cool. I like that. Can I jump in and rate it?
Go. Cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it, for me, cult legend, because it's adapting Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. And I think this is going to kind of do something fun for American animation and adapting things. I think for a long time we've had, it's either going to get turned into a movie or a TV show.
How can we Americanize the fuck out of it?
If they don't do it right as a movie, it's a disappointment. And a lot of times with video games, I don't think there's enough there to make a TV show out of it. But going kind of this third route and doing not quite a motion comic, but this anime style adaptation of it, where you get the stylization of doing a video game, but you have the kind of palette of a big budget action film that you can do in animation style. I think that works really well for adapting stuff like this. So hopefully, I know Netflix has a lot more anime in development, so hopefully they come up with some cool stuff.
They better come up with cool stuff before they lose Disney.
And I can't wait for season 2 of this.
Apparently, we get 8 episodes then. I got to go awesome Andor cult legend. I think we're going to look back, like you're saying, at this as a turning point. I have championed this hour and a half movie, basically first season, to everybody I know. People who like anime, people who don't like anime, video game people. I mean, just check it out. It's worth your time, you know? But it reminds me of Ninja Scroll, all the good shit that I like, that I appreciate, and yay, I get to binge watch it.
So, sweet.
Yeah. Somewhere in between Cult Legend and awesome.
No. You need to not get somewhere in between. That's how we got awesome in the first place and all the Mabel shit.
Cult Legend, because it will be.
Okay. Upload.
Okay.
Don't yell at me, goddamn you.
Okay, let's move on to something else. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
There's news. Good news. Bad news.
There's some bad news at the box office.
Dark Tower?
What are you talking about, Dunkirk?
And it's August, and it's always a slow time in the box office. But last year we had Suicide Squad to buoy things. Other times we've had films like Guardians of the Galaxy doing well in August. This August is not that. We've got The Dark Tower leading the box office with a measly $19 million. That's the number one movie.
What?
Grossed less than $20
million. What is Rotten Tomatoes on that?
And I believe their summary was, go then, there are other Stephen King adaptations.
Oh my god, 18% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
No, they got, it's a movie that had a lot of problem on set. People were not excited about it, and there was a lot of bad mouthing in the week just before it came out. And let's face it, the publicity were not that great either.
I think in all fairness, this is a movie that almost didn't get made, and they ended up with a really, really short running time, which was like 80 minutes or 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think if you could say anything nice about it, it's that it's not long.
Yeah, I heard that a lot. So if you have 90 minutes to invest between Dark Tower and Dunkirk, go see Dunkirk.
Yeah, again. Dunkirk, I saw this weekend. I took my parents. It was awesome.
I really have to see that before it leaves theaters.
Yes, you do.
My cousin's a big World War history buff, so I want to take him.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, he's gonna love it. The other, rounding the top three, so we have, like what you said, 18%, then we have 93% Rotten Tomato, and let's go to 6% with Emoji Movie.
What the
So overall, and we talked about this a little bit last week, summer 2017 is down 10% from last year.
Yeah, it's bad.
But and hang on, is that because of the 3D? No one's doing 3D, no one's going to 3D anymore, so that was huge a few years ago.
There's less butts in seats right now.
That's a fair cop. I think the other thing is there just haven't been as many breakout hits. I think really the only breakout hit of the summer is Wonder Woman. Dunkirk, you could make the argument that it's a surprise, but it didn't come close to the previous Nolan films box office.
No, not at all.
So I don't know.
Actually, Dunkirk is right on track on what Nolan expected it to do. The expectation was to make $150 million.
But I'm saying
in the U.S., and they're making it right now.
It's not doing Batman numbers.
Oh no! But that was never supposed to do Batman numbers either.
So I said,
the Dark Tower was supposed to do Batman numbers.
Sure,
that's a flop. The Dark Tower—that's the first of a new universe based on Stephen King. You knew that.
They're gonna do a TV show.
Stop trying to make a universe and make a movie that's good first.
I know. Good.
Learn from The Mummy, and I think that's the other thing is. Learn from The Mummy. The Mummy tank. There, you can kind of go back this summer to a litany of films that have underperformed, and just people weren't that interested in them. I think
people are getting sick of let's show up for a trilogy of movies after the first one, and now you're going to make the third one into two. It's make a good movie.
You know what? I think that's a good point. We're talking why it's down 10% and stuff like that, but Wonder Woman work. I think people are interested to see not new property, but stuff they know for the first time. The first time we saw the Avengers together. The second time was not as great. The first time we saw Planet of the new Planet of the Apes, that was exciting. The second time they were all apes, that was even more exciting. The third time, well, I might watch that on Netflix. Again, look at Spider-Man this year, or even Doctor Strange. I'm straight into their demographic, and I didn't go because price of the tickets and all that. I preferred to go see Arrival twice instead. Something that was
something fresh, newer.
Right? Something fresh, something that.
Well, you get burned out with. You know, if you miss one, now you feel like you don't know shit.
And I think the argument for something like Dunkirk is it's not going to be the same on the small screen. You're not going to have that experience on the small screen. You know, if you missed your chance to see Spider-Man this time, you can wait for the sequel and see it on the big screen. But, yeah.
Yeah, and even talking about Dunkirk, like if we were to do a review, that would be very hard. Because it's basically a picture of that moment in time.
Sure.
So there's not really a story. Shit happens that happened at war. It's just well fucking made. It's not
a script.
I don't think there's a lot of line. Maybe two, three pages.
I was joking afterwards that it's not dialogue heavy.
It could almost be a silent movie. Almost. So anyway, we're not here to talk about Dunkirk.
All right.
But the news. Very bad box office.
Let's lead off the news with something we've all been waiting for. What will Josh Brolin look like as Cable?
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, like, I'm like, that's awesome.
The guy is Thanos and Cable, and he looks amazing.
Two of the biggest badasses in the Marvel Universe played by the same guy.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Most people don't get that. They get one flop and then they move on from there.
Well, yeah, Chris Evans is Captain America and the Human Torch.
Right. Ryan Reynolds is what's the name in Deadpool. Yeah. I know there's one or two other ones somewhere.
Ryan Reynolds is Hannibal King, Green Lantern, and Deadpool. That start to be like a list at this point.
What was the first one you said?
Hannibal King.
Why can't I think of that?
He was in the Blade films.
Yeah. Oh, son of a bitch.
That was still a comic book character. No, that
you're right. You're right. You're right.
That counts. He basically was the star of that movie. So that counts.
No. Jessica Biel.
Yes.
This was good. Let's switch to the other Marvel news. So Inhumans is coming. The Inhumans is going to be a TV series and an IMAX release.
What? Who's going to go see that in IMAX? There's no hype for that thing whatsoever. People are just bitching about the wig.
But for what it's worth, the trailers haven't been that impressive, and people have already seen the premiere and are starting to call Marvel out on it and say, this isn't very good, and Marvel really can't handle that.
Why would Marvel put out a subpar product?
Okay, stop. Do you remember when we talk about Kevin Feige and Perlmutter not working together anymore?
Okay.
This is the first show that Perlmutter produced since.
So Netflix TV and Netflix film, although they're arguably the same universe, they have not played well thus far. The Inhumans looks like it's a piece of garbage.
It looks like Generation X.
It does. It really, really does.
Oh, that, don't say that.
With the exception, I think, of Lockjaw, who looks cool. But I don't know how much they can do him because he's all CGI.
Also, like Cyborg.
But it's a TV show.
I know.
You know, and the costumes are really bad. They look like cosplay. I'm watching.
They look like
Twitter right now. Yeah, they could have walked at cons, because when I saw the picture, I was like, okay, it's a picture, you don't know. But they could have walked at cons and pick up people randomly and just like, how much for your costume? And that would have been better.
Well, it's the same. It's the same argument about Apocalypse in the X-Men movie. There are better Apocalypse cosplay than what he ended up looking like.
Yeah. Hey, at some point, Vin Diesel was supposed to be Black Bolt. That would have worked well.
That would have been amazing.
Oh, and the little douche from Game of Thrones is the crazy brother? Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay. Wow.
So we'll see, but I don't have high hopes for this. I think it's going to be on TV for a week, and then bye-bye now.
Then it's going to be a miniseries online before it's a DVD box set.
Evidently, it's only 8 episodes, but I don't know.
Might be 8 too many.
Sure. Netflix.
But why did you say Marvel can't handle it? Because that was the news.
So, evidently, at the Television Critics Association panel for the Inhumans, the reporters, in all fairness, started to bring up some of the problems with the show, and evidently the showrunners and the panelists were not receptive. It was kind of like a...
Hold on. One quote here is, he says something about, you're making me feel like Ben Affleck right now.
Yeah, the sad Affleck meme.
Like, he's... Wow. Yeah, like the... guys getting all ripped apart. So
basically, it went down like a Sean Spicer press conference.
Ooh, wow. Okay, now I get it. So not really like Mooch, but Spicer. Okay.
Yeah.
We might get there. Okay.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that they're not earning goodwill. I think if they had gone out and said, you know, the trailers that you've seen so far, you know, we've kind of rushed out. We're still working on some stuff. You know, if you're a little worried, don't be worried. We promise it's good.
Okay. They better put a lot of money on the show if they want it to look good, because right now not.
One would hope, right?
Yeah.
And they want to start like a streaming service with shit like that? Wow.
So speaking of streaming, Netflix bought Mark Miller's Miller World. So they out and out bought the comics label that belongs to Mark Millar, who's done things like Kick-Ass. And they're going to start developing some of these things into their own, one would assume, Netflix shows. And there's some interesting stuff that we could possibly see. Have you guys... read, or are you familiar with any of these properties?
Most I've read them, but it's mostly one shot. It's not a lot of like you said, properties. The big ones have already been done, which are Kick-Ass, Wanted, which they have, and Kingsman. Those are the three big names. But the man writes Superman. A lot.
He co-wrote on Superman, Red Sun.
Yeah, Jupiter's League. Yeah, he did. Probably the first thing they're gonna do.
The one thing I think would be interesting would be Nemesis, if they adapted that.
Yeah.
So Nemesis is basically a billionaire with sort of childhood psychological trauma, becomes Batman, but he has no moral compass. So he's basically like the Joker.
And he's rich as shit.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Like I said, I think my first pick would be just Jupiter's Legacy.
Okay.
But, you know, which is like a family story with a superhero and element in it, but not really superhero element. Anyway, it's very good. I really love it. And since they have Wanted back, I want them to do Wanted and not...
Are we talking anime or are we talking live action? Or we
whatever
don't know.
They want, they can do whatever they want. Right now, the only thing they don't have is the two big that we're talking, Kick-Ass and Kingsman. But they can do whatever they want with it. They can do anime, they can do live action, they can do movies. They bought this company right. that owns the this yeah. These IPs. Yeah. He's just probably going to start another company on the side and start new IPs because it, he's always said that it was his dream. He was not writing comic book. He was writing pitch for movies and TV shows. So he was more interested in getting into that than actually doing comic. He used comic as a way to get into the industry. So that's good. But yeah, I think,
a Kingsman TV show could be fun if they spun it off.
They don't own the rights to it. Yeah.
They don't own it right now.
Because the people making movies still hold the rights to that. And what was the other one? Wanted?
Yeah. No, not Wanted. Kick-Ass.
Okay.
It's a little bit like the Sony Marvel deal, if you want. There's other companies that have previous deal. If they don't do anything with it for X number of years, or I don't know exactly what are their deals, at some point it could go back to Miller World, which is not owned by Netflix. But it's the same thing with Spider-Man and X-Men, if you want.
Netflix also has... Disney has declared that it's pulling its content from Netflix and starting its own streaming service. So here we go again.
Hey, thanks for starting this up and showing us how it'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why Netflix bought their own comic book company.
Yeah. so that also means the Star Wars stuff, the Marvel stuff that they don't already have.
The cartoon stuff.
Yeah.
No more Netflix TV shows. Actually, were they producer or just distributor?
I think Netflix is the producer for the Netflix Marvel stuff, but I don't know exactly.
They probably don't own the rights to these characters. Marvel is never going to do that.
I don't know.
That mistake again, so...
I don't know.
Oh, that's going to be interesting to see how all that shit's going to be.
Oh, they still got it. You're talking like Daredevil and shit?
Yeah.
No, they can't take that away from me. I'm not going to spend another $15 a month for that shit. God damn it.
Well,
they're going to make me pay. Fuck.
Yeah. And it's going to be, I'm in Canada. We're probably not going to get it. I'm going to have to wing it anyway.
You'll get it. Trust me. They'll take your money. It'll be a global money grab.
You would be surprised how much stuff we don't get because we're in Canada, because our laws to distribution for media are... Yeah. Yeah. And still.
Okay.
I would not be convinced. We don't have Hulu and all that stuff, and we have Netflix. That's the only one that had the balls to come here.
But you have some like stuff Amazon Prime, which you have a streaming video, right?
There's not a lot of shit on that, though. We have like, I think, an eighth of what you guys have on that. And we were looking at Netflix earlier to make a schedule, some inside ping pong, and we didn't have the same stuff.
Well, no, you've never had the same stuff, but...
Yeah. That's why I like going to your place, steal all your Netflix cool stuff and all your Pokemon TV shows.
That's good.
Yeah.
Beef, you want to take the last news story?
Yeah, apparently the new It director wants to remake Pet Sematary. And we'll talk about the trailer in a minute, but I could be down with him remaking Pet Sematary.
See it first, and if it sucks, don't touch it. If not, yeah, there's probably a remake to do.
The trailer for it looks really good compared to the trailer for The Dark Tower, though. I'm just saying.
Is there a lot of good Stephen King adaptation? And don't quote The Shining. It's not a Stephen King adaptation. It's the Stephen King inspiration.
The miniseries.
Yeah, and Stephen King hates The Shining.
Here you go.
The miniseries from the 90s or whatever that was It.
That was okay.
I'm a big fan of The Dead Zone, both those Christopher Walken movie directed by Cronenberg and the TV show. Dead
Zone. Yeah. I forget The Dead Zone.
Misery. Yeah, Misery's fucking whack.
But look, we're like kind of reaching to The Dead Zone and stuff like that. How many movies did you produce?
Stand By Me. Shawshank Redemption, yeah.
But they produce like 5 a year at some point of these movies. So a Stephen King property, a Stephen King name is not a guarantee of
it's a
goodness.
Shared universe. They want cash.
It's not even because all these are sold left and right, because at some point Stephen King had that point, that thing where you could buy his property for a dollar and make a movie.
Yeah.
if he liked what you were doing, they were called Dollar Baby. So you could, that's how there was so much crap around, because he was just letting people doing Dollar Baby.
All right.
We'll see.
I think even creepier than the It trailer, the trailer for Mother by Darren Aronofsky with Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer. Did you guys watch this trailer?
Yeah, I saw that before Dunkirk.
Freaky.
It does not look right.
No?
No.
You're so French.
Well, now I know that he's not in love with her, that he's the one doing all that shit. So I'm guessing at the end she kills him after she went through that room and we saw the room with all the... He showed too much.
Crimson Peak.
It looks like it. It's like, okay, we're going to do Crimson Peak / An Amount of Madness or something like that.
Yeah.
But in a house.
You ruined everything for me.
I'm sorry, Beef.
So French.
I know. Thank God I'm here.
And right away in like the first 10 minutes, they're going to show her like using a gun or being really good at like using an arrow, like a bow and arrow.
How about at the beginning, she's reading Cable number one.
Right.
And at the end, Josh Brolin as Cable shows up and kills everyone.
That would be cool.
That would be good.
Would you go see it then, Wing?
So badass.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. If there's something like that. It's weird because everybody was like, don't spoil the end of Split. Don't spoil the end of Split. I ended up decided to check that movie when the spoiler came out because I was like, ooh, same universe. Sometimes you need something to push you there.
You need the spoiler to make you want to see why.
Yeah.
All right.
And that was good, so... We should talk about Split.
We should put that on the list, yes.
Okay, so let's split.
All right.
Talking about next week.
The founder, apparently, some McDonald's goodness.
Did somebody say McDonald's?
Mm-hmm. Brothers.
I'm loving it. I think my rankings are going to be all McDonald's slogans. I think we'll go that way.
Or you just got to go food. Nah, yeah, slogans.
Slogans, that's good. That's good. And probably your Abysmal or something like that. It could be something like
Arby's. We have the meats.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What is it in the Jay and Silent Bob, the movies?
Movies.
We're eating it. We're eating it.
Oh, stop it.
I love it.
This has been episode 335 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying there's going to be so many food puns next week.
I'm John D saying, I can't wait for next week.
I'm Lobster saying, the goat loves me.
Back to Clerks 2 again.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at Incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or GunnaGeek Networks. No infringement is intended, and no infringements are intended.